exactly what you have planned for us. And we know that as long as we're rightly related to you, that everything will work out for good to those that are loving you. And we thank you for that. Now we'd ask as we look into your word today that we see those things that are applicable to living out our salvation. And we thank you for that. Amen. We've been looking at our enemies. We're on Satan now. If you've noticed, we did the flesh first and we did next Satan and the world in that order. And the reason for that is the order of success that a Christian can have. One of the things we're going to develop today as we look at Satan, you cannot overcome Satan until you have a propensity or a reasonable effort or reasonable ability to overcome the flesh. Because as we saw a couple weeks ago over in 1 Corinthians 7, when you're so overcome with the flesh or the flesh, you're sinning and you're carnal, Satan doesn't have to work that hard. He can manipulate you all you want. So the resisting the Satan is presumed that you already have the ability at times primarily to overcome the flesh. Now in terms of review, remember, this is very important to what we're going to do today. Remember that Satan attacks in the realm of our thinking. In fact, he tries to disrupt our logic. And the way he does that is he'll go into the workings of the mind. I gave you the verses for this, both in 2 Corinthians, the second chapter and the 11th verse, the fourth chapter and the fourth verse, where he works with the workings of our mind. And the way that logic used to be is that your logic was a sequence. You have a premise, and then you have proof to that premise, and then you have proof and proof, and then you have a conclusion. Well, Satan, if he can disrupt the thinking, our logical thinking in one area, can get us as Christians to come out with the wrong conclusion, i.e., he can get us to think contrary to Scripture if we allow it. So it's very important that we, as we went through each of the attacks of Satan, that we understand them so that we can marshal defense to them. Now, and if you'll turn real quick review to Ephesians, the 6th chapter and the 12th verse, I'll read the 12th verse and then we'll make some comments because this tells us what we're going to be looking at today. For we wrestle, this is hand-to-hand combat, I'm in Ephesians 6:12. For we have hand-to-hand combat, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That means that our wrestling, our interaction with Satan is not on a physical level. And that's why we pointed out that he deals with the thinking or the processes in our mind. This is not physical. That means that when you have the armor of God, it is a picture in physical terms that represent non-tangible things such as thinking. It's a picture. It's an extended metaphor. It's an allegory, so to speak. That we, verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Two of the hierarchy, two of the ranks of angels, against rulers of darkness, against spirits who emanate evil in heavenlies. So it's a spiritual warfare. Now, when we get into the armor in more detail on the next succeeding Sundays, the armor is a mental activity. I want to stress that in case I forget later on. There's a lot of people who teach the armor of God and they'll spend all this time. Is this the short sword or the long sword? Is this the big shield or the little shield that the Romans used? That's not necessary. What you do need to know is that the armor, if you put in the whole armor of God, which we'll be stressing today, you will have complete protection. But there's some prerequisites to putting it on. Now, it's the human responsibility to put it on, but it's in divine enabling that it causes you to want to put it on, and we'll be getting there later on as we develop that today. Now, if we want to do, let's do a little bit of review. If you'll turn over to James, the 4th chapter and the 7th verse, because we're going to stress this again today. back over in Ephesians 6, James the 4th chapter and the 7th verse. James the 4th chapter and the 7th verse. Submit. Now remember, submit has the idea of being rightly related to the Father as we've developed it. We spent a lot of time on this. I never cease to be amazed how people teach the Christian life, even in circles that I've been involved with, and they get right into the Christian life, and they don't go back to the basic. You have to want to please the Father. You can construct a chart about the spiritual life, or the armor of God in this case, all you want. That chart will do you no good until you and I as a person determine to please the Father and have that relationship correct. Submit, verse 7, yourselves therefore to the God, that'd be the Father. Resist, remember that word resist, we're going to stress it again today. That has the idea of stand against. Remember, we stand against Satan. You cannot, and I cannot, stand against Satan without the armor. So I need, with divine enabling, having the armor from God on, I can stand against him. That will not work against the flesh. We play dead to the flesh. We consider ourselves dead to the flesh. The flesh isn't dead. But we stand against Satan. And we want to stress that again today. Resist the devil. Now, here's a promise. This is a promise that's applicable only to Christians who have the armor on. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Not he might flee from you. Not 10% of the time he'll flee from you. But he will flee from you. Indicative. Now, here's an important thing. That fleeing of Satan will not occur without the full armor of God. With God on. We'll see that stress twice. Now if you'll turn back to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, I want to review one more thing there. If you'll look in the 6th chapter in the 11th verse, second line down, to stand. Go down, if you with me, to the last part of verse 13, withstand or stand against. Go down to the end of verse 13, stand. Go to verse 14, stand. Do you think when we put these verses together that there's an emphasis on us standing against Satan? But be very careful. We cannot stand against Satan in our own strength. We have to have the armor of God on in order to stand. Now, if you'll turn with me over to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. Keep a finger over in Ephesians 6. We're coming back there. Put your outline there. That's probably the best thing you can do with it. But turn with me over to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter and the 8th verse. Be sober. Take Satan seriously. Be vigilant. Don't go to sleep on him. We're going to see over in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, when we see an attack coming from Satan, we better be quick and get that armor on right away. 1 Peter 5th chapter 6th verse. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary or enemy, that's the word, be called Satan in the Old Testament, it's a different word in the New Testament, the devil as a roaring lion walks about seeking who he may eat up. Now obviously this is a physical picture of what happens on a non-tangible or spiritual level. Verse 9. Whom resist? That's the idea of stand against. There it goes. So you have it in James, you have it in Peter, and you have it in Ephesians. When it comes to Satan, we stand against it. Now that pictures having the armor on. That pictures taking him seriously. That pictures understanding he's the enemy. Resist, verse 9, stand against, steadfast. Now, you should have in your King James, in the faith. It should be by the faith. Now, that implies a whole lot of information. When we resist by the faith, it doesn't say we resist on our own strength. It says by the faith, which is a body of doctrine to overcome Satan. So to overcome the three enemies, the faith, Specifically, we're talking about the part that have to do with Satan here. So if it takes faith to overcome Satan, that means it takes knowledge and the promises God has in terms of resisting Satan or standing against him. What I'm saying is, this is why Satan is the second enemy we study. Satan cannot be overcome without knowledge of Scripture of how to overcome him. The faith. It implies doctrine has to be known, understood, and practiced. That brings us back to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, which is the primary section of how to resist Satan, although we have clues. And what I wanted to show you is that you have three co-authors of the New Testament. You know who the main author is, the Holy Spirit. But Peter, James, and Paul, all co-authoring with the Holy Spirit, all say you have to stand against Satan. Isn't that marvelous how Scripture is? It never contradicts itself if you read it correctly and put it in its place. Now, over in verse 10 of the 6th chapter, I've done this before, but I thought we should do it again. You have three power words. There are three words that have to do with strength and power. And if you get nothing else, I'm going to delineate them for you. Get this, that we have no strength on our own to resist Satan. It comes from our position in Christ. Now, you know what that means? That means we have already had to have count ourselves dead to the sin nature down here, Romans 6:11, and alive facing the Father in Christ. That's what it means. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, so this is Christian doctrine. This is a present passive imperative, which means it happens to you, but you have to put yourself in the condition for it to happen. Finally, my brethren, be being strong. Now, this word for strong here has inherent power. How do I get inherent power? Inherent power, a nice, quick way to remember it, is ability. How do I get the ability to withstand Satan? Well, the clue is in the next phrase. You have to put a the in English, but it's not there in the original. In quality of Lord. You know, when you refer to Jesus as Jesus, you're emphasizing his humanity. When you refer to the same person as Christ, you're emphasizing his glorified, as the glorified and risen one. When you refer to him as the Son of God, you're emphasizing his deity. Jesus and Christ emphasize his humanity in a different way. Same person, three different descriptions. But here's another description of the same person, Lord. Lord has the idea here of slave master. I know that's probably not PC anymore, but we as Christians are to count ourselves as voluntary slaves of Jesus Christ. And when I'm in correct relationship to the Father, fessed up, wanting to please the Father, I'm automatically going to want to please the Son. Now, I have a different realm of allegiance to the Son. The Father is the head of all things, but the Son is the head of the body of Christ. And as I practice the new commandment within the body, now the Son becomes also the one I have allegiance to. They're not mutually exclusive. And if I, as a Christian, am counting Jesus Christ as the head of the body, as Lord, and I'm in that slave-master relationship, meaning my real life is in the third heaven at the right hand of God the Father, this verse says, that's where I get my inherent strength or my ability. I get it in Lord. It's interesting. Always watch when the word Jesus is used, the term Jesus Christ or Lord. They mean different things. Same person. They emphasize different things. This is emphasizing having a Lord-slave relationship with Christ. And then that gives us an inherent ability. An ability. Keep going. Finally, my brethren, be having an inherent ability in Lord, the quality of Lord, in power. That word, second word for power or strength, has the idea of kratos. It has the idea of manifest power. Do you know you can go around as a Christian and put in your thinking, have your mind at the right hand of God the Father? If you don't put it into action, it's meaningless. It's a chart. It's meaningless unless it's put into action. That's this word. This second word, power, has the idea, kratos, of manifest power. So if I am rightly related to the Father and thus want to please both the Father and the Son, and we please them in different ways, but they're mutually beneficial. When I want to please the Son as the head of the body and I count Him as Lord, I'm going to manifest that in my life. That's this word. Now, if I manifest it in my life, did I do that in my own strength? Or did I manifest that in the power that came from my position in Jesus Christ? The second being the answer. Now, the verse goes on. In the manifest power, and then in the last part of the verse, it says, in His might, it should be in His endowment, not endowment, but endowment, which has the idea of something that is given to us. Now, what I'm saying is that before that you can even think or want to think to put on the armor, you have to have a right relationship to the Father and be operating in action your position in Jesus Christ. Let me say it another way. Until a Christian has the ability to at least occasionally or overcome the flesh, and on those occasions when the flesh is overcome, then you can put on the armor and resist Satan. And until the flesh is overcome, Satan's got free run. That's what this verse is saying. So this is the preparation for putting on the armor. The armor isn't you open a book to page 219 and read that chart. I had this is a pastor who I've had some mentoring with in California, and he called me and said, you know, Rich, every morning I put the armor on, the armor of God. And he says, what really bothers me is by noon sometimes I forget it's on. And I said to him, why are you putting it on if you don't have to? You only put it on when you're being attacked. That's what this whole section's about. You don't stand as a soldier all the time. I know, and I referred to it before, I know there's that song, Onward Christian Soldiers, marching as to war. We only are soldiers when it comes to Satan. If you're a soldier when it comes to the flesh, you're a very poor soldier because you're playing dead. Go over into the battlefield and play down dead and see how the lieutenant likes that one. Not a good job. We are not. Let me give you only other place you ever referred to Christians being soldiers. It's over in 2 Timothy. Let's go ahead and look at that and get that out of your mind now. I'll show you what I'm meaning. 2 Timothy, the second chapter. Verse 3. This is Paul counseling one of his students. Calls him a son in the faith. Verse 3. Therefore, you, Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Why is he telling Timothy to be a good soldier? Look down at verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised out from among dead ones according to my gospel. And if you put the two together, apparently Timothy, when he was given the gospel, was leaving out the resurrection. And the reason he was leaving out the resurrection because he was threatened with death. So what Paul is saying, Satan's attacking you with a cowardness, which is one of the attacks of Satan. We've gone over it. Spiritual cowardness. You need to put on the armor. Because remember what I told you about the armor of God, or the armor from God. By the way, let's cover that. The word of, I have an old dictionary. It's this thick. It's not that old. It's 20, 30 years. When they still define words, we were talking about that earlier. And if you look up the word of, there's 14 meanings in the dictionary. So what does of mean? Does it mean belonging to? Does it mean regarding? That's why I always give you what it means. This is the word, the armor from God. And here's the picture. God gives you the ability and the armor, and then when you put it on, whose is it? It's yours. You have a very close example over in the 15th chapter of John. It says the fruit of the vine. And then later you're to bear fruit. But the vine is what produces the fruit. Then later in the chapter 15, it says when you actually do the fruit, do things, that it becomes your fruit. So here's an important distinction. The fruit, the armor comes from God. When you put it on, it's yours. But you can't put it on your own. You can't just look at a chart and get the armor put on. The power comes from having your position. Now let's look down at verse 11. This word put on in the first two words in verse 11 has the idea of put on like clothes. In the original language, and you have this in Spanish, if you'll hear me use a little Spanish, I'll say vengas aquí. What that means is you, plural, come here. You guys come here. In English, we would put the you there, which means that the verb has the subject embedded in it. It's called in the suffix. That's true of the original language here. It should read, you put on the whole armor of God. You. Whose responsibility is it to put on the armor of God? God, Satan's attacking me. Would you have the Holy Spirit put the armor on for me? That's not what the verse is saying. The verse is saying that that's the human responsibility. Now, don't get me wrong. You cannot do verse 11 without verse 10 first. So here's the order. You are in the right relationship to have the power come from God. It actually comes directly from the Holy Spirit, but God the Father is the source. And as this enabling comes, then you have the human responsibility to that enabling, which is to put on the armor. The human responsibility comes after the divine enabling to put on the armor. Verse 11. You, this is what's called an imperative, which means it's a very strong suggestion. You, and not to get too technical, it's in a form that says you, there's an immediacy to it. So I would translate it, start putting on the armor of God. Why? Because you're going to be attacked. You're going to be attacked. Put on the armor from God that you may stand facing the trickery, the craftiness of the devil. And we've described what this craftiness is. Now let's put it the other way. Don't put on the armor that Satan wins every time. Don't put on the armor. Satan wins every time. Now let's go down to verse 13. Let's stress something else. Now in verse 13, you have what seems to be a repeat, but it's a little bit different. Wherefore, now it says, take up. This word for take up, I'm in verse 13. Wherefore, take up unto you. You, the whole armor from God. This word for take up is used in like a military terms is like the last preparation for going out for battle. The last thing that you have to have and I have to have to thwart Satan when he attacks is we better get that armor on. And there's an immediacy to the way this is stated too in the language. You! Put on the whole armor. Now let's stress the whole armor. It doesn't say just put on the helmet. It doesn't say just put on the shoes. It doesn't just say gird your loins or a shield. And by the way, the sword isn't yours. It's the sword belonging to the Holy Spirit. So this is a complete defense. See armor. Armor is pictured here as defensive. Now remember, this is physical things, the armor, picturing what is not physical, a mental attack. So the armor is obviously a physical representation of a mental attitude and mental thinking that should be going on. And it says the whole armor. Now let's put the whole armor together with James 4:7. If we have the whole armor of God on, we can stand. And what does James 4:7 say? If we do stand, he'll flee. If we do stand, he'll flee. But it has to be the whole armor of God. So in verse 11, you, me and you, it's you plural, put on though. That's our job. Verse 13, our job is to take up. That's the last thing. Right before we go to stand against this attack, don't let anything else come in our mind. And when it says the whole armor of God, putting it again together with James 4:7, what a wonderful promise. It's 100%. 100%. Now, in human wars for 6,000 years, even though they had a good idea they were going to win a battle, nobody ever went into battle thinking they were going to win 100%. But James 4:7 says that he'll flee if we stand. Now, I hope you got this. This is the main thing we're getting across today. The armor enables us to stand. Standing enables us to resist and for him to flee. No armor, no standing. I've given you this example before. Martin Luther, the original Martin Luther in the 1500s, he was just coming out of Catholicism and learning some things about Scripture, and he's pretty ignorant about it, quite frankly, from a correct point of view. And he knew he was being attacked by Satan, and he thought that Satan hid in darkness because you have the image of darkness with sin. And he took a bottle of ink, I think I got this right, and he picked up the bed and threw the ink under the bed because he thought that was where Satan was. And he was going to damage Satan. The armor of God is purely defensive. I can't harm Satan. You can't harm him. But what we can do is have him flee. And we'll get to the sword of the Spirit, which is a sword belonging to the Spirit. There's our word of again, with one of its 14 meanings that we're going to say. So this is what we're trying to stress today. The armor of God is a physical picture of having a fully developed or fully developed perspective in our mind that will thwart Satan, and it will work every time. It'll work every time. So let's go back and review what we've done. Verse 10. Before the armor ever gets on, we have to understand that our true life, our true allegiance, our true fiaty is in the third heaven at the right hand of God the Father in the Son. Otherwise, you're just reading a chart. Otherwise, you're just going through a function. If you're in Sunday school, otherwise you're just wood, hay, and stubble in your action. But with that enabling that comes from our allegiance to the Father, the Father isn't ever, there's a verse, 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says he's never going to put more in front of us than we can handle. Sometimes I think he overestimates me, but that's a personal thing. A little joke to keep me humble. But the Father's never going to give us more than we can handle. And what a wonderful promise that if we put on this whole armor, it's 100%. But what I've tried to show you today is that there's divine enabling, but there's human responsibility. As humans, when we're real zealous in our own strength, we want to stress all the human responsibility. That's most churches that I've been in. Or there's the other extreme where God's going to do it all. No. Divine enabling, human responsibility. Don't do what God's going to do. Do what we're told to do. What are we told to do? Are we told to construct the army, armor? No. We're going to go through what the armor is. It's a body of doctrine that we had better know. And it comes from God. So we don't say, I think this is the way to beat Satan. Or I can throw him some real damage if I do this. No. It's the armor from God. Our job is put on what He's provided. Our job is to use the enabling He gives us. But it is our job. We have it twice, verses 11 and verse 13. We're to put it on like clothes. And if we put it all on, the reason it's all is there's not going to be any, King Ahab in the Old Testament in 1 Kings about chapter 22? Some guy just draws a bowl back. Just for a chance and boom, it goes right through, right in between where King Ahab's armor was and kills him. We're not going to have any areas of vulnerability. It'll work 100%. But we have to get that order. I'm telling you, I know Christian circles like the back of my old hand. And the general stress is all human responsibility or all God's problem. No, God enables, but we're not robots. We have a responsibility. It's our job to put on the armor. And we won't know how to put it on unless we study it. So we're going to spend some time looking at the armor. And we're going to see Satan's attacking me, what should I be thinking? Now, it works out that the Holy Spirit in the realm of our mind of Christ is going to provide our thoughts. So it's our job, based on our knowledge of Scripture, it's our job to recognize the correct thoughts and focus on those. Because trust me, if your mind works anything like mine, there's all kinds of errant thoughts. But I have to focus. It's my job to get them on the right one. And when I do that, he's going to flee. Divine enabling, human responsibility. Divine enabling, human responsibility. Now, we're going to get into these parts, and I'm going to stress it differently than I've taught before many years. We're going to look at each individual part, but it all is going to fit with a whole. These parts are not mutually exclusive. They're overlapping doctrine. They're overlapping perspective of what God can do through us. And no one part is more important than the other. I read it to you twice. Put on like clothes the whole armor from God. Therefore, take up the right before the battle the whole armor from God. Important. It takes knowledge. It implies knowledge. It implies understanding beyond knowledge. And implies putting it into work. Satan is running rampant in our world today. He always has. But he's actually more evident and more manifest now than ever. And as Christians, we better recognize when he's coming after us. You know, he doesn't have to worry too much about the world. He's got him under his thumb. But he sure would like to stumble us in our Christian life so he can go up into the third heaven. I never did like people that rat out other people. In fact, I've always been against plea bargains because you rat on somebody and you get up. Hey, you did the same thing. I just say that to tell you what I think of Satan. Not my favorite guy. I want to defeat him, and you should want to defeat him too. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We again thank you for the people.